Well, Hearts, thanks for joining us today here on Challenge. And this message today is primarily for our radio congregation. It's entitled, In Search of Christ's Likeness. But before we get to the message, once again, let me remind you of our concert of prayer this coming Sunday evening, June the 1st at 7 p.m. Go to our website, challengeministers.com. Click on Listen at the top of the page. Then come down and click on 24/7 Streaming. At 10 minutes to 7, I'll start playing music so you can prepare your heart to pray. Then at exactly 7 p.m., I'll announce the first item for prayer, give you some 8 minutes to pray that item while I play music softly in the background. Then I will close that item of prayer out with prayer, announce the next item for prayer, and in 50 minutes, we'll cover 5 major issues facing our nation today. Then we'll take the last 10 minutes of that 1 hour together, and we'll pray for you, your concerns, your burdens, your problems. That is this coming Sunday evening, June the 1st at 7 p.m. Now, I'm going to take you into this message, which is a radio message for you. Our radio congregation, brand new one, just did it. It's entitled, once again, In Search of Christ's Likeness. Be blessed as you listen. Let's open our Bibles today to Romans chapter 12. And hopefully, radio congregation, we will cover verses 10 through 21. And I've entitled this, In Search of Christ's Likeness. Because isn't that what we're all after? Aren't we searching day by day to become increasingly more like Christ? We want to be like Christ. And so, once again, the title is, In Search of Christ's Likeness. You see, Christ's likeness is the goal, and should be the goal, of each and every believer. And if it's not the goal of each and every believer, it should be the goal of each and every believer. And not just on Sunday. Not just on Sunday when we try to do our very Sunday best. We try to be our very best on Sunday, don't we? But no, every day of our life, every single solitary day of our life, we should be seeking Christ's likeness. That should be the goal of our life, every day of our life. Now, we're going to continue our study in the book of Romans today, and we pick it up once again in Romans chapter 12 and verse 10. Be kindly affectionate to one another with brotherly love, in honor, giving preference to one another. Let me ask you this. Did you ever meet someone you just didn't like? You really couldn't explain it. You didn't understand it yourself, but you just didn't like them. And I understand there are times in the spirit realm. Yes, I understand that. I understand there are times in the spirit realm that your spirit just does not bear witness with the spirit of that person you just met. But then sometimes perhaps there are other factors involved. Sometimes we just don't like them because of who we are and what we are. Will Rogers once said, he never met a man he did not like. When I heard that, and when I read that, I said to myself, you never met some of the folks I have met, Will. But that's what Will Rogers said. He said he never met a man that he did not like. But then we sometimes form an opinion too quickly, don't we? We meet somebody, we look at somebody, we're introduced to somebody, and we size them up real quickly. Many times we size them up too quickly, and many times we size them up wrongly. And, you know, sometimes just sitting in a restaurant, eating, you may look at someone at another table and become critical, judgmental. There's something about them that you don't approve of. Has it ever occurred to you that maybe they're looking at you and there's something about you that they don't approve of? But we have to realize that sometimes we form an opinion too quickly, and sometimes it's a wrong opinion. Peter Lord once explained, he shared an experience he had. He was taking his son to college, getting him enrolled in college, and in the enrollment process, Peter looked at a guy that he just really did not approve of. The guy was dressed in some blue jeans, and he was barefoot with sandals on, and he had long hair and a shirt that wasn't really all up to speed. And so Peter Lord, now I heard him tell this himself, Peter was standing there looking at him and formulating an opinion. and thinking, well, I'm not really sure that I like having my son here in this situation with people like that. But nonetheless, Peter formed an opinion. Well, it turns out later that there was a school function, and in that school function, they were identifying that individual who had had the most Christ-like influence on their life. Well, guess who the classroom decided and voted that this individual has had the greatest Christ-like influence on my life? You're right. That's one guy that Peter Lord was standing there looking at, evaluating, making a decision, judging him. And here's a class saying that this individual that Peter had been so judgmental over, saying this individual has impacted my life for Christ unlike anyone else has ever done that. Sometimes we just form an opinion too quickly, don't we? And haven't we had similar experiences to that which Peter Lord had? Haven't we? Haven't we looked somebody over and just kind of categorized them, judged them, placed them where we wanted them in our mind, and perhaps we ourselves were being judged by them? And perhaps they were looking at us and finding things about us they didn't approve of in our manner, perhaps our speech, our dress, whatever it may be. But we all had similar experiences. The question is, when that happens, do we recognize it for what it is? Do we recognize it as a critical spirit? Do we recognize it as judgmentalism? The Word of God says, judge not, that you be not judged. For with what judgment you judge, you shall be judged. I think sometimes we need to slow down, evaluate our thought life, even when we're looking at someone else and nobody else knows what we're thinking. We may be sitting at the table with friends, we may be sitting at the table with family, and yet we may be evaluating and judging and forming an opinion about someone else in the restaurant, a waiter, a waitress, whatever the case may be, and we are sitting there doing what the Word of God tells us not to do. We're not to judge, and yet we do that, don't we? The question is, do we recognize that for what it is? Do we recognize that as a critical attitude, judgmentalism? What was it about me or you that attracted the love of God? Tell me, what was it about me? Ask yourself this, what was it about me that attracted the love of God? For myself, I can't think of a lot, quite frankly. I can't think of a lot. And I dare say that many of us, if we put some thought into it, might come to that same conclusion, that there really was nothing about me. There was really nothing about me to attract the love of God. But what was it? What was it? It's God. It's who He is. It's what He is. It's all that He is. Which of us had anything to commend us to God? Seriously, among us, who among us had anything to commend us to God? I'll tell you what, nothing. You, me, neither one of us. None of us had anything, not one single solitary thing to commend us to God with our attitudes, our actions, our reactions, our judgmentalism, our character, whatever it may be. We were sinners. We were all sinners, and we're just all sinners saved by grace now. All of us as believers are sinners saved by grace. We came out of the womb with a sin nature, and it didn't take us very long to reveal that we had a sin nature in the little things that we did, the little things that we became, and what we were becoming. Thankfully, God is love. Amen? Thankfully, thank you, Lord God, that you're love. Thankfully, God is love, and God loves sinners. God loves individuals that you wouldn't give the time of day. God loves sinners that you are criticizing and judging, and you are putting them in your, you're categorizing them, but God loves them. God loves them. Thankfully, God does love sinners because I was a sinner. You were a sinner. Yes, we were sinners, and yet God loves us. But when we say that God loves sinners, understand this. He loves sinners. Now listen to me. Slow down. Listen carefully. He loves sinners of every type, of every race, every description. You cannot name a category of sinners that God does not love. God so loved the world and everybody in it, regardless of what they were, what they had done, what they had been. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believed in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. So once again, remember this now. God loves sinners. God loves sinners of every type, every color, every race, every description. God loves sinners. Romans 11:11, not lacking in diligence, fervent in spirit, serving the Lord. Now let me read you that in another translation. Speaking to the people of God, never be lazy, but work hard and serve the Lord enthusiastically. Are you involved in serving the Lord? I think each of us have to ask ourselves, listen to me. Am I lazy in the things of God? Am I lazy with respect to the Word of God? Am I lazy with respect to the prayer closet? Am I lazy in the things of God? Do I just kind of tolerate other believers? And am I just somewhat marginally involved in religious services, church services? Am I just kind of marginally involved? Ask yourself this. Am I advancing the kingdom of God? Am I involved in advancing the kingdom of God? Then you need to ask yourself this as well. If you're going to ask yourself, am I involved in advancing the kingdom of God? Am I sensitive to opportunities to be of service to the Lord? Are you? Are you sensitive? I mean, it may be a passing moment, and it can happen anywhere at any time in your life, friend. You may be in a checkout line. You may be in a checkout line, checking out or just waiting to check out in a grocery store, department store. And there may come that split second instant in which a comment is made, or which the Holy Spirit of God gives you a comment that you could address to someone else to let them know that you are a child of God and that you are loved by God and that God loves them. Anything, any number of ways it can happen, folks. I've been there. You'd be surprised at times that the Spirit of God will present you with an opportunity, an instant in which you can, in one way or another, in some way or another, slightly or even more so, share the fact that you are a believer, that you know Christ. You may even hear someone complaining about something. It may be a physical condition. And you may do nothing more than say, would you mind if I, in my own private prayer time, can I pray for that for you? Folks, the world is full of hurting people. How many of us were a part of that world of hurting people before we came to Christ? But the world is full of hurting people. And you must not judge because of the reactions and the responses. You don't know what they're coming through. You do not know what they are coming through, what they're facing every day of the world when they get up. So our question we must ask ourselves, am I sensitive to opportunities to be of service to the Lord Jesus Christ? But then you've got to ask yourself this, and this can get a little bit touchy. Am I willing? Hear me now. Am I willing to be involved in advancing the kingdom of God in the life of others? Am I willing to be involved in advancing the kingdom of life in the office in which I work, the neighborhood in which I live? Am I willing? Am I truly, honestly, before God, before the Lord, am I willing to be involved in advancing the kingdom of God? Then you might ask yourself this, am I involved? Where I live, where I work, even with extended family members, as well as family members that are close by. Am I involved in advancing the kingdom of God? And if so, what way? Could you sit down with pencil and paper? And could you make a note to yourself saying, okay, this is the way in which I am involved in advancing the kingdom of God? Could you? Why don't you try it? Why don't you try it? Why don't you sit down with pencil and paper and say, this is the way in which I am involved in advancing the kingdom of God? You might be surprised. You may be surprised at some of the ways you are advancing the kingdom of God, but then likewise, you may be a little bit surprised at ways in which you are not advancing the kingdom of God. Now we come to Romans chapter 12 and verse 12. Rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Rejoicing in hope. Someone says, Bob, I don't have a lot to rejoice in. Quite frankly, my life is kind of leveled out. Some of you might say, Bob, really, I'm kind of in the pits. I'm just in the pits. I'm going through a time in my life which I just really don't have a lot of joy. I don't have a lot of peace. I'm not really that excited when I wake up in the morning, and I kind of go to bed with grumbling in my spirit. Bob, I'm just not really enjoying, I'm not rejoicing life. Rejoice in hope. That's what he said. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope. Let me give you some reasons to rejoice. Rejoicing in God's protection. Rejoicing in your salvation. Rejoicing in the fact you've been adopted into the family of God. Rejoicing in the fact that your name has been written in the Lamb's Book of Life. Rejoicing in the fact that you are salt and you are light. You are called and you are commissioned and you are anointed and you are appointed to be salt and to be light. That you have taken note, God Almighty, Almighty God took note of you in all of your sin and all of your failures and all of your fruitlessness. God took note of you. We're all sinners, those of us who've been born again. We're just sinners saved by grace. But, glory be to God, hallelujah, the moment that we were born again, we can start rejoicing in hope. Why? Because we're rejoicing in hope of God's protection. No matter what comes down the pike, no matter what comes down the pike, we are rejoicing in hope of God's protection. And not only that, we're rejoicing in hope of God's provision. Regardless of what's coming down the pike, once again, regardless of what happens to the economy, regardless of what happens in the nation, we, believer priest, children of God, adopted into the family of God, loved by God, we rejoice in hope of God's protection because God has promised to protect. God has promised to provide. When you read Paul's letters, even in prison, in Rome, the church, people of God, were sending him provision, and he was thanking them for that provision. We have to understand that we, in and of ourselves, are nothing. We can accomplish nothing of any value. We can accomplish nothing of any eternal value. No, each and every one of us are needful. We are dependent on God's protection, God's provision. Every day of the world you leave home, you're dependent upon God's protection to bring you back home that day. Are you not? You could very easily end up in a hospital. You could very easily end up in a morgue. So we are dependent, and we're rejoicing in God's protection. He's protected me this far. I'll trust him to protect me the rest of the way. He's provided for me thus far. I'll trust him to provide for me the rest of the way. So rejoicing in hope and patient in tribulation. What does that mean? Patiently enduring the test of my faith. My faith is going to be tested. Your faith is going to be tested. It's going to be tested at different levels, at different times, in different experiences, but rest assured, your faith is going to be tested. And Paul is saying, patient in tribulation. Patient, patiently enduring the test of my faith, which incidentally comes in a variety of forms. See, the tests come at different levels, different intensity, at different times. And sometimes the test comes in a most unexpected way, in a most unexpected place, from a most unexpected source. And they come. They come in different levels of intensity. Some levels of test where our faith is tested absolutely ring us out. I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. Some of them. And they, you have to understand this. The faith tests come at different levels of intensity. Some you can pretty well handle and move on. Others ring you out. Others absolutely ring you out. And then, understand this, you're going to face more yet. You're going to face those tests that test your faith. Why? Because you're in the process of being conformed to the likeness of Christ, and you're being formed, you're getting prepared, you're being prepared for eternity in heaven, in the kingdom of God, in the new heavens and the new earth. You've got to be trained, and you've got to come through different levels of faith. You've got to come through different levels of discipleship. You've got to come through different levels of being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ, which means you've got to come through different levels of intensity. Only the Holy Spirit can provide the strength, the patience, and the endurance that is needed as you come through test after test after test. And then Paul goes on, continuing steadfastly in prayer, remaining faithful. Did you hear me? Remaining faithful in the midst of failures, discouragement, and disappointments, and doing so in prayer. Doing so, take it to the Lord. Take it to the Lord. Listen, you've got to be willing and prepared to discuss anything and everything with the Lord. Yes, the temptations, the tests, the trials, everything you're facing in life, take it to your Heavenly Father. You say, well, Bob, you don't understand. I failed so many tests. I flunked the test. And I'm reluctant to run to the Father. No. In spite of the failures, in spite of your failures, in spite of the discouragement and disappointments, take it to the Father. Say, Father, I failed here. I failed today. I failed here. I failed here. I failed here. Lord, quite frankly, I'm a little bit discouraged. I don't have the joy of the Lord. Right now, I'm coming through a period of discouragement, so I'm going to discuss my discouragement with you. And right now, quite frankly, Lord, I'm a little bit disappointed. I'm a little bit disappointed. And frankly, Lord, I don't really like to admit this, but I'm a little bit disappointed in you. Father, I kind of expected you to do it this way, and you didn't do it that way. You did it this other way. Or you haven't done yet what I expected you to do. Well, friend, understand this. God never gets in a hurry. God never gets in a hurry. He's going to be faithful to his word. He's going to be faithful to his people. But he's going to do it in his way, in his timing, whether you approve of it or like it or not. But you understand this. Through it all and in it all, he's conforming you to the likeness of Jesus Christ. You are being conformed to the likeness of Christ Jesus. So why don't you just relax a little bit, be at peace, thank him for what he's done, thank him for what he's doing, thank him for what he has brought you through thus far, and thank him for what he's going to take you through in the future, getting you prepared for glory, getting you prepared for the kingdom of God. Now we come to Romans 12:13. Distributing to the needs of the saints, given to hospitality. I think most of us do that through designated missions ministers, don't we? I dare say that most of you listening to this broadcast today are involved in expanding and expressing your faithfulness to the Word of God and expanding and extending the kingdom of God through your giving. I dare say most of you are. And from time to time, we help on a specific known need, do we not? From time to time, we're made aware of a specific known need, either in our local congregation or somewhere in the community. So from time to time, we help on a specific known need. Then, sometimes, in the life of a specific individual or a specific family, you have to be sensitive. You've got to be sensitive to the Holy Spirit here, because there are going to be times, I mean, you may be in the most, you're not expecting anything, and all of a sudden, the Spirit of God moves on you. Do this for that person. Do this for that person. Do this for that family. Be involved in this. Do this. Give this. Be a part of that. You're going to be surprised, but it requires sensitivity. It requires sensitivity to the Holy Spirit, but you will know. You will know. You see, there are specific expressions of ministry that some of us have never been involved in or would never have been involved in had it not been for the prompting of the Holy Spirit of God. And I mean, it can happen in a heartbeat, in a split second. You may be in a restaurant, you may be in a department store, you may be in church, whatever it may be, but the Spirit of God from time to time is going to move on your spirit, suggesting to you that you do this, do that, do the other, say this, say that, say the other. You've got to be sensitive. Friend, you've got to be sensitive to what the Holy Spirit of God is prompting you, and I'll promise you this. When the Spirit of God prompts you to do something, and you don't do it, you're the loser. You're the loser. When the Spirit of God is prompting you to do something, speak something, and you don't do it, you are the loser. And then he's got to find someone who will respond to him. He's got to find someone he can reward for responding to him. Be sensitive to the Spirit of God. Be sensitive and just obey. Just obey as he prompts you. Now we come to verse 14. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Oh, mercy. Persecution can come from some unexpected sources, can it not? Haven't we all been there? Haven't we been there to one degree or another when we found some persecution coming from some unexpected sources? And it can do so in a variety of expressions. Folks, hear me. Listen to me carefully now. Word of God says, bless those who persecute you. It happens in the office. Sometimes it happens in the home. Sometimes it happens in the community. It can happen in the workplace. It can come in a variety of expressions. But hear me carefully. It is happening. It has happened. It will happen many times in the workplace. Even in the neighborhood in which you live, it can happen. With your next door neighbor, it can happen. And sometimes even in the family. Sometimes the close family, sometimes extended family. But it happens. And yes, sadly to say, at times in the Christian community, even in the church. Once again, what does the Word of God say? Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. It can happen in the Christian community. It can, and it does. It can happen, it does happen in the Christian community, even in the church. And some are very subtle offenses, and yet others are not so subtle. And many of you know exactly what I'm talking about. You know exactly what I'm talking about. You've been there. Matter of fact, you may have been one of those involved in it. But sometimes it's just a little subtle thing, and sometimes it's not so subtle. But regardless of the source of the problem, regardless of the source, and regardless of the level of intensity, and it comes in different levels of intensity. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Bless those. It comes in different levels of intensity. But we, as believer priests, as children of the Most High God, we're to bless those involved in our persecution. Yes, even those who harass us. We are to bless them. We're to bless those. You say, Bob, I don't want to bless them. I want to curse them. No. We're told to bless them. We're to bless those involved in our persecution and in our harassment. Romans 12:15. Rejoice with those who rejoice and weep with those who weep. What's he saying? Share each other's victories with times rejoicing. So many times someone is telling us what God has done for them. How he solved this, how he provided that, how he performed that. And while they are telling us that, we are so busy trying to think about, well, now, what can I say to you? When you get through telling me what you're telling me, let me tell you something. You think that's something. Let me tell you what God did for me. Let me tell the experience I had. Let me tell you what I was up against. See, victory after victory after victory. Rejoice with those who rejoice. And weep for those who weep, because behind victories many times, there's a failure. So we're to share each other's victories with a time of rejoicing. You overcame this? Great. You got a victory over this? Great. You come beyond that? Great. Boy, that must have been something, but you came through it. Bless you. Rejoice with those who are rejoicing. Then, likewise, share each other's burdens and their sorrows. Someone is sharing with you a burden. Someone is sharing with you what they are coming through, what they have come through, or something right now that is a point of sorrow in their life. Listen to them. Share with them. Commiserate with them. Listen to them. Show them your concern. Show them your compassion. You might even take the time to say, could we pray about it? Could we pray about it? You'd be surprised how many times the Holy Spirit of God is prompting you to be Christ-like when you're not being sensitive to the Holy Spirit and you're not responding in a Christ-like way. He wants to use you as salt, light. He wants to use you in the lives of others. And you can share. We can share one another's burdens, can we not? We should be able to anyway. Romans 12:16. Now this gets a little bit complicated. And I'm going to give you two different versions. The KJV, the NKJV, be of the same mind toward one another. Do not set your mind on high things, but associate with the humble. Do not be wise in your own opinion. I like the New Living Translation on that better. It says this, live in harmony with others. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. How many times have we bumped across people that they thought they knew it all, but then how many times were we that person? How many times did we react and respond like we had all the answers? Oh, I understand that. I know that. I got it down. I've been there. No, well, this is the Word of God. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Let there be unity among believers. You know, one of the individuals that impressed me most as a young man, a teenager in our church I was in, was a man who probably had about a sixth grade education. He was a factory worker, but he was the kindest, most gentle individual I'd ever met. And to this day, he's the one individual I remember in all the churches I was involved in. I remember that man. I remember Pleas Collins. I remember him for who he was and what he was. The Word of God is saying to us, live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. Ordinary people. Working people. Ordinary people. People who don't necessarily have as much as you do. Ordinary people. Live in harmony with each other. Don't be too proud to enjoy the company of ordinary people. And don't think you know it all. Let there be unity among believers, and that's a problem. That can be problematic. When we look at the diversity, even in the body of Christ, and I'm slowing down just a bit here, when we look at the diversity, even in the body of Christ, and at times within the same denomination, at times in the same church, among the same body of believers, when we look at the diversity, incidentally, Scripture is not determined by majority vote. Understand that. I hope you've got a lesson from that. Scripture interpretation is not determined by majority vote. And we've seen major denominations, and lately even the SBC, we've seen them led by majority vote. You go with the Word of God. You base everything on the Word of God as a ministry, as a church. You embrace the Word of God. You stand on the Word of God. You teach the Word of God. You practice the Word of God. The Word of God is not determined by a majority vote. It is not determined by the denomination. It is determined by line upon line, precept upon precept, the Word of God. It's not determined by popular vote or denomination. But unfortunately, sadly, Satan has introduced both confusion and division into the church. Folks, it's here. I'm just telling you, point blank. Satan has introduced both confusion and division into the church. In Romans 12:17, and we see it. We see it day by day by day. We watch the compromise. We watch the change. We watch the watering down of the Word. We watch the compromise of the Word. Folks, this is reality. This is reality. And remember this, God has turned all of his work over to the church. The church, those born again, we are the bride of Christ. And for the moment, God has turned all of his work over to us. And we, for the most part, are failing. Romans 12:17. Repay no one evil for evil. Have regard for good things in the sight of all men. Now let's read that in another version. Never pay back evil with more evil. Do things in such a way that everyone can see you are honorable. Don't repay evil with evil. Forget getting your pound of flesh. I know that some of you, you've been thinking to yourself, someone does you in, you think, okay, I'll get my pound of flesh. No, forget that. Forget about getting your pound of flesh because somebody offended you, because somebody treated you wrong, because somebody mistreated you. No, forget about getting your pound of flesh. Never pay back evil with more evil, the Word of God says. Don't respond in an evil way to those who responded to you in an evil way. Romans 12:18. If it is possible, notice, if it is possible, as much as depends on you, live peaceably with all men. Let's look at another translation. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. And folks, it starts in the family. And then it moves into the family of God. Do all that you can to live in peace with every other individual. That is self-explanatory. That doesn't need a lot of breakdown. That doesn't need a lot of exegesis. It is self-explanatory, is it not? Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone, regardless of who they are, what they are, regardless of their financial status or social status, regardless of the color of their skin. Do all that you can to live in peace with everyone. Now we come to Romans 12:19. Beloved, do not avenge yourselves, but rather give place to wrath. For it is written, vengeance is mine. I will repay, says the Lord. He takes note of those offenses that are against you. He takes note of that. He takes note of the things that touch you. He takes note of who used that to touch you. Let me read you that in another translation. Dear friends, never take revenge. Did you get that? Never take revenge. You're thinking you did me one, I'll do you one better. No. Dear friends, never take revenge. Leave that to the righteous anger of God. For the scripture says, I will take revenge. I will pay them back, says the Lord. Trust me, friend, God can do a better job of getting even than you can. He knows how to recompense those who mistreat you. He knows how to leave that recompense up to him. Don't exact revenge. Rid yourself of that attitude that says, you do me one, I'll do you one better. And that's an attitude that many of us had at one time. I was there. I can remember those days. Can you? You do me one, I'll do you one better. It's called retaliation. It's called revenge. It's getting your pound of flesh. That's really what it is. We were all there, and some are still there, and some are still there in the church, and we're not supposed to be there. Most of us were there far too long, even after coming to Christ. And we've got people today, many still are. Are you? Are you still one of those that you do me one, I'll do you one better? You do me one, I'll get my pound of flesh from you. Men are still there. Let me ask this. How easily are you offended? How easily are you offended? How difficult it is for you to forgive when you have been offended? Is it difficult for you to forgive, and yet you go to God every day saying, forgive me? You go to the Lord every day. Forgive me, do you not? How difficult is it for you to forgive? Have you forgiven? Are you forgiving? Will you forgive? When we consider what we were before truly coming to Christ and what he has forgiven, how can we not forgive someone else? Romans 12:20. Therefore, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him to drink. For in so doing, you will heap coals of fire on his head. Let's read that in another translation. If your enemies are hungry, if they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Did you get that? I love it. If your enemies are hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals of shame on their heads. Now we come to the last verse. Romans chapter 12, verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Another translation, don't let evil conquer you, but conquer evil by doing good. Be encouraged, folks. God understands everything you're coming through. God understands everything you're facing every day of the world. And he's also aware of your responses. He is also aware of the way you respond to an individual, to a situation. But let me give you a word of encouragement. He understands. In my walk with the Lord, I've been there. I know what I'm talking about. And God had a lot in me that had to be conformed, that had to be gotten out of my life. A lot had to be conformed. Oh, mercy, what God had to do. What my Heavenly Father had to do to to bring me to Christ's likeness. And I'm not there yet, but I'm getting more there. And so are you. Don't give up on yourself. God's not going to give up on you, okay? But understand this. Understand this. We're all in this fight together. We're in this battle together on behalf of the kingdom of God. Father God, Holy Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask you to take this message. I ask you to burn it into the hearts of your people, encourage them, strengthen them, equip them, and use them to advance the kingdom of God and to do damage to the kingdom of darkness. And Father, if you'll do this, we'll give you all the glory, honor, and praise. Glory be to God. Hallelujah forever. Amen and amen and amen. Amen. Well, hearts, I want to thank you for joining us today here on Challenge. And as I close the broadcast out today, I just want to take you into my prayer closet with me, some of the things that I pray. I pray for the nation. I pray for the nations of the world. But, you know, I pray for the body of Christ. Because, folks, I'm going to tell you, the body of Christ, those within the body of Christ, is not a cakewalk. And they're up against satanic opposition every day of the world. And listen to me, and listen to me carefully. I'm not being critical. I'm not being judgmental. I'm just being as transparent and open and honest with you as I know how to be. You would be surprised how many pastors, evangelists, prophets, apostles, teachers are up against the wall in temptation. Satan wants to knock out the leadership. I know I've been there. Folks, I've been at this a long, long time now. I've ministered to other preachers. I myself have come through the battles. I know what I'm talking about. I have come through level after level after level of battles. We can call it level after level of sanctification because we all have to come through it. It matters not who you are, what you are. We all have to come through the levels of sanctification. But I want you joining me day by day. Almost daily, I pray for preachers. I pray for pastors. I pray for evangelists and apostles, prophets. I pray for the teachers. Why? Because most of them are not going to go to anybody in their church and say, listen, I'm struggling with this. I'm struggling with this. We've got men in the pulpits who are struggling with the same types of sins that those sitting in the pews struggle with. Folks, it's reality. It is reality. I've come through level after level after level. I know exactly what I'm talking about. I came out of the business world once I finally submitted and surrendered to the Lordship of Jesus Christ with respect to the ministry. Once I finally submitted and surrendered, then I was in for the battle. I thought that I knew something about the battle before. I really didn't understand the battle before, but it wasn't until I got into the ministry that I started to really understand the battle. And we're all in this battle, folks. Some in different levels, some different intensity, some different types of battle. I'm talking to people today. Some of you are eat up with lust. I'm talking to some who are eat up with greed. I'm talking to people today of different levels of temptation, different types of temptation. But understand this. As a child of God, it's not a cakewalk. You were tempted before you come to Christ, and you gave in to many temptations. And we have many today in the body of Christ that are still giving in to temptation. But it's a battle, folks. Understand me. It is a battle. And many of you would not want to sit down and discuss what you are warring against in your own mind with anybody. As a matter of fact, some of you won't even go to the Father with it. You won't take it to Jesus. Did you know that you can go to Jesus and say, Lord Jesus, no sense my trying to kid you. You know, Father, you know what I'm battling. You know what I'm up against. You know the temptation that is waging against my soul right now. You know the temptation that is warring against my soul, that is raging against my soul. Father, it could destroy my family. It could destroy my marriage. It could destroy my testimony. It could destroy my witness. Father God, this thing that I'm wrestling with could absolutely wreak havoc in my life, and I need help. You can talk to him about it. He knows. He knows. So why not discuss it with him? Inasmuch as he knows, you may as well go ahead and discuss it with him. And then understand this. You're not alone. You're not alone in the battle. You are surrounded by people every day who are laughing on the outside and crying on the inside. You are surrounded by people every day who are pretending that everything is okay, everything is fine, I'm good, you're good, we're all okay, when the truth of the matter is they're being torn apart. Spiritually, emotionally, they're being torn apart. They're wrestling with ideologies. They're wrestling with ideas. They're wrestling with suggestions to the mind. They're wrestling with temptation. They're wrestling with testings and trials. But they're not taking the time to talk to anybody about it. But you can talk to God about it. And I'm not suggesting for a heartbeat that you share your inmost intense spiritual turmoil and battles with anyone else. I'm not suggesting that. I'm suggesting this. Take it to your Heavenly Father. Take it to your Heavenly Father. I'm serious, folks. God understands. He already knows. He knows what's going on in your life. So why not take it to him and say, Father, this is a problem. I'm dealing with this. It may be in your personal walk with him. It may be a temptation. It may be a testing. It may be a trial. It may be fear. It may be a suspicion, physical disorder, whatever it may be. It may be a real physical disorder. Folks, God is your Father if you're born again. He knows you. He knew you before creation. He knew you before the foundation of the earth. He knew you before he created Adam and Eve. He has known you from eternity past. He chose the place of your birth, the parents of your birth, the time of your birth. We have to come to grips with the omniscience of God, omnipotence of God. We have to come to grips with the reality of who he is and all he is, that he understands us. You can share your heart with him. I don't mean to preach another message now. I just got through preaching one. But I do want you to understand because I've lived it. I've come through it. I know what I'm talking about. I know what I'm talking about. Do you understand that from the highest level of office in the nation to the lowest level of employment in the nation, we're all in the same battle together? We're either sinners saved by grace, and yes, we still have to battle Satan, or we are sinners saved by grace, and we're walking at different levels of victory, glory be to God, day after day after day. We're obtaining a little more victory, a little more victory, a little more victory. But we're surrounded by people that don't have the foggiest idea. We're surrounded, and we've got people in public office. We've got people in the Senate. We got people in the House. We got people in the Supreme Court of the United States of America who don't know beans from shinola about the Word of God. And many have been deceived by false doctrine, by false system of religion. We need to pray for them, folks. We need to pray. This nation needs prayer. Trust me, this nation needs prayer. The church worldwide needs prayer. And yet, understand this, we've got those who are employed in the kingdom of God, working for the kingdom of God, trying to advance the kingdom of God in the nations of the world who are up against all kinds of odds. Take some time each day. Enlarge your prayer life. Enlarge your prayer life. I'm going to pray now, and I'm asking you to agree with me. The Word of God says, if any two of you will agree as touching anything on earth, it shall be done to my Father which is in heaven. This is not another message, incidentally. It's the closing to the message I just taught, but it's reality. And it's a reality I had to come to grips with over the years and through the years, and am still to this day becoming increasingly aware of this reality. I want you to be aware of this reality, and I want you to take this reality before the throne of God in prayer. And before I pray, let me say this. Your walk with Jesus is not a cakewalk. The kingdom of God, advancing the kingdom of God, is not a cakewalk. It's battle. Every day of the world, and you've got to understand, Satan is going to oppose you every day of the world. He's going to introduce anything and everything he can into your life, your thinking, your family, your work environment, whatever it may be. Every day of the world, he's going to seek to marginalize you, defeat you, neutralize you. You have to be aware of that. And that's why you put on the whole armor of God, as I do. Every day of the world, I put on the whole armor of God in prayer before the throne of God. Heavenly Father, Lord, you birthed this message. And you know what I went through trying to get this thing prepared and getting it preached. But Father, I'm asking you to take the message. And I'm asking you to strengthen those who've heard this message. I'm asking you, Father God, to penetrate their thinking. I'm asking you, Father God, to move in their lives. Father, we've got people involved in the body of Christ who are born again, but they're coming through discouragement and defeat, and they're coming through situations and circumstances. And Father, we got preachers, we got pastors, we got evangelists, we got apostles, we got prophets, we've got men and women of God. We've got men of God, Heavenly Father, who love you and who are submitted to you, committed to you, and yet they're in a battle, and Satan wants to neutralize them. Satan wants to destroy their witness. Satan wants to destroy their testimony. Satan wants to destroy their marriage. Satan wants to destroy their ministry. Oh, Father God, the battle is real. The word of God tells us that we wage that the war is raging. The weapons of warfare, not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds. And Father, we're up against it. We're up against the wall. And Father, this nation is sunk so far. Oh, Lord God, withhold your judgment, I pray in Jesus' name. Give us a time to stir the hearts of the remnant. Father God, stir the hearts of the remnant in this nation to come before your throne in confession, confessing as sin the sins in their own life, confessing as sin the sins of the nation. And Father God, purge, I pray in Jesus' name. Purge and purify the church, the pulpit, Father God. Burn out the dross. Strengthen those who are in positions of leadership. Father God, they're in a battle. They're in a battle to destroy their testimony. They're in a battle to destroy their ministry. And I'm asking you to give them strength. I'm asking you to encourage them and surround them with people who will pray for them, love them, support them, encourage them. And then, Father God, break the power. In the name of Jesus, break the power of Satan in every expression of the body of Christ that you have birthed. Break the power. Diminish the power of Satan in that body of Christ. And, Father, give us victory. Oh, Lord, we've got some that are on the verge of brinkmanship. They're on the verge of falling. And I'm asking you to move. I'm asking you to salvage their testimony, salvage their marriage, salvage their ministry, and then let them come out the backside of that battle in reinforced and strong in the Lord and the power of your might. So, Jesus, here we are. Here we are. We got to pray for one another. Your word says pray for one another. Paul, to pray for one another. We're to pray for each other. I'm to pray for them. They're to pray for me. We're to pray for each other. Let us take your word seriously. Submit and surrender to your lordship in our life. Submit and surrender to our obedience to the word of God. and go forth day after day after day dressed in the whole armor of God, ready to meet the enemy head on, and ready to walk in the victory, the power, and the anointing that only you can provide. And my Lord and my God, if you'll do this, we can see victory after victory at the national level, at the local level, at the state level, at the city level, and in the church. We can see victory because Jesus, when you said it is finished, it was finished. Glory be to God. You had done everything necessary to defeat the enemy of that wars against our soul, that wars against the kingdom of God, that wars against our nation. You defeated everything out of hell. And you've made it possible for us to walk in that victory. And Father God, I pray you'll stir the hearts of your people today to say, I will walk in the victory that Christ purchased for me on the cross. And Father, if you'll do this, we'll give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. And we present this prayer to you in the holy and precious name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. And we thank you for the privilege of being able to do so. This we pray in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, amen and amen. Well, thanks for joining us today here on Challenge. And until we get a chance to get together and do this again, be ever so blessed. Be ever so blessed.